Well, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, May 1st, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the book, from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, in chapter 11, page 154, in A Vision for You, starting with the third paragraph, beginning with, "Of course he couldn't drink." And we'll be reading this one paragraph only, and it ends with, "To him from the bar." We will be commenting on this one paragraph. Today's readers are Pam M. for the 12 Steps, Karen W. for the 12 Traditions, and readers of our text are Shannon M., Jordan L., and Julie E.B. Our newcomer greeter today is Colleen M., and Dawn B., or possibly Janice B.M. will be doing our announcements. I'll find that out soon. For the share ID for yesterday's Thursday, April 30th, 2020, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,535. That's 14535. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, May 1st, 2020, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,539. That's 14539. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope. And could somebody please mute? We're kind of having some background noise there, and it'd be great. We could have a nice, quiet meeting. Thank you so much. Through shared experience, strength, and hope, we're recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Pam M. to read our 12 steps. Good morning, Pam. Star 110 to mute, please. Pam?
Blessed morning. This is Pam M. in upstate New York with the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to the compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles of all our affairs. Thank you very much. Have a beautiful meeting, everyone.
We don't hear you, Sherry.
All right, Pam M., thank you so much for your service this morning. And Karen W., can you read our 12 traditions, please? Karen W.?
Good. Yes. Hi. Good morning. Good morning. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity of the spiritual foundation of all these, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service, and have a great day, everybody.
Thanks, Karen W., for your service this morning. Just want to give a correction that Janice P.M. will be our announcer this morning. Thanks so much for your service, Janice. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except for the speaker should be muted. And that does include your personal mute button. Please don't use that button. Use star 1 to mute and unmute, and we'll have a nice quiet meeting that way. Thank you so much for your cooperation. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in Chapter 11, A Vision for You. And we're on page 154, the third paragraph, where it says, of course he couldn't drink. And it ends with, to him from the bar. So now we will have Shannon M. Get reading here or there. Good morning, Shannon.
Good morning. Thanks. Shannon M., recovered compulsive reader in Texas. Of course he couldn't drink, but why not sit hopefully at a table, a bottle of ginger ale before him? After all, had he not been sober 6 months now, perhaps he could handle, say, 3 drinks, no more. Fear gripped him. He was on thin ice. Again, it was the old insidious insanity, that first drink. With a shiver, he turned away and walked down the lobby to the church directory. Music and gay chatter still floated to him from the bar. When I read this, I was thinking about the first time I felt like I was on thin ice since getting recovered. And it was about a little bit over a year into being recovered. So this was just recently, just a few months ago. And I laughed when it said ginger ale, because that was honestly something that I was like, I think I could have some ginger ale, I'd be fine. And I was pregnant. And then I got the stomach flu, and then I got the regular flu. And then at 10 weeks pregnant, I miscarried. And so all of this happened within a month. And my whole family got the flu. So it was just a really rough month for us and for me, spiritually and emotionally and physically. And so I remember feeling like, oh my gosh, like I just wanted to eat what I wanted to eat. And I was like, that will make me feel better if I could have like some ginger ale and crackers, or just all those thoughts were kind of going in my head. And then that fear just like gripped me. And I was like, oh my God, like I can't do that. Like there is no way. And because I knew that if I did, I would lose everything, and it would be way worse than the pain of the flus and the miscarriage, because it would just be, you know, my last relapse was 6 years, so it's not a quick relapse in my history. So, and then I love that it says, like, he turned away. Like, so I have to turn away and walk towards program and God, and thank God I have sponsees that I work with and a sponsor. And then it says, you know, he went to the church directory. Well, I don't have a church directory to go to, but what I do go to is the mom group that I'm a part of on WhatsApp. And I got a lot of strength and hope from there. And I just relied on other moms and cried on the phone with them. And they helped get me through a really dark period for me. It was a really, really terrible month. And I didn't have to eat over it. I didn't have to turn to food. And on moments where I felt like, gosh, I wish I could eat, that's who I called. I picked up the phone and I called them and I just said, I'm struggling right now. And I just cried with them. And then I helped other people and got out of my own head and saw how I could be of service, to other, moms in the recovery group and then my sponsees. And it was amazing because those moments where I was like, oh, sure, I could bake cookies with the kids right now. And I knew that if I baked cookies with the kids, I would want to eat the cookies. Like I wasn't spiritually fit enough to do that with them. And so those were the moments that, you know, I turned away and I went to program. So I'm just very grateful. Thanks.
And thank you, Shannon M., for getting us started this morning. So I'm just reminding everybody, we're on Chapter 11 of Vision for You. We're on page 154, the third paragraph. Of course, he couldn't drink, ending in to him from the bar. And before I take names, I just want to remind everybody, although we really value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order for others might share their experience too. So who would like to share this morning?
Heather W.
Was that Heather?
Yes.
Okay. And I heard a man's voice.
Bruce E.
Gotcha,
Bruce.
Can
you hear me? Bruce E.
I sure do.
Thank you.
Deb E.
Was that Beth E?
Deb E.
Deb E. Okay. Gotcha, Deb.
Julie E. B.
Julie, got you. I can take one more.
Linda P.
Was that Linda P. as in Peter?
Yes.
Gotcha, Linda. Okay, so this is our lineup this morning. We have Heather W., Bruce E., Deb E., Julie E.B., and Linda P., and I'll take some more names after we finish with Linda P. Good morning, Heather. Star
hey,
one, then mute, please.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. This is Heather W., recovered in Baltimore. Really grateful to be on the meeting. Grateful for just this paragraph and the share that was already given. You know, after all, had he not been sober 6 months now, perhaps he could handle, say, 3 drinks. And, you know, this is just so disease, right? You know, like I have a list of these lies my disease tells me. And I tell my sponsees to write them down as well. And this is just such a common lie, you know, that my disease will say, well, you've been abstinent for a month. You can have it now. Or, you know, well, it's been 2 months. Surely you can have it now. And the answer is just always no, always no. But the beautiful thing is, you know, with being recovered and being spiritually fit and living in this program, those thoughts, those lies my disease tell me, it's so rare now. It's so infrequent now. Whereas before, you know, I felt like they were just popping into my head constantly. It's so, so rare. And, you know, we see the person here, they get these thoughts, but they don't give into it. You know, it says with a shiver, he turned away and walked down the lobby to the church directory. That reminds me of the 10-step promises where it says, you know, we'll recoil as if from a hot flame. He recoiled as if from a hot flame. And on those rare occasions, you know, because I'm recovered, but I won't be cured. So on the rare occasions those crazy thoughts creep into my mind, you know, the next immediate thought is, oh, that's crazy, Heather. No way. You know, and I recoil. And one specific example, I had just gotten engaged. This was a few years ago. Really happy time. We were having this party, beautiful time. And there was this old insidious thought, you're engaged now, so surely you can have something of this. Surely you can do this, you know. But the beautiful thing about being recovered is it, again, I recoiled as if from a hot flame. You know, I said, no, that's crazy. You know, whether you're engaged, it makes no difference. Whereas before, you know, I used to give space to those thoughts. I used to talk back to those thoughts, you know. So I'm just so grateful I don't have to do that anymore. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Heather W. And Bruce E., you're up, followed by Deb E. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Sherry. Thank you, everybody. Great day. Of course he couldn't drink. That's a big laugh, isn't it? At least for me, anyway. Of course, I just go there. I won't eat. I just go to this, you know, this affair, wedding reception or something. I won't eat, though. Man, that never worked. I always need to have a plan when I go somewhere. A bottle of ginger ale. Well, I always wondered why I had such a rough time with a bottle of ginger ale. Well, it's a bottle of sugar is what it is, and it looks good. It sparkles, tastes good. Man, that's a downfall for me, a bottle of ginger ale. He'd been sober for 6 months now. The biggest binge that I had in my life that I can, I don't know, I had probably had bigger ones, but one of the biggest binges I had in my life was a year before I came into Vision, and I had been really abstinent for 6 months. I'd had a real, real good period of solid, clean abstinence. Excuse me. And then, bang, I had the biggest binge of my life. And then after that, for a full year, I couldn't put 2 weeks together. So perhaps he could handle, say, 3 drinks. Well, been there on that one. 3 drinks. I've been there with the one and the one bite, one of this, two of this. So I'll only have 3. I'll only have 6 potato chips. I'll only have, you know, and a guy told me recently, I was talking to a guy on the phone, and he goes to AA meetings. He says, I only have 5 cookies. And I thought, yeah, well, what do you have later on that night? What do you have later? You know, I mean, it all triggers the allergy. I mean, the allergy comes in, and then it triggers a phenomena craving. But then the really good sentence here is the one on insanity of that first drink. Again, it was old insanity, that the insanity of the first drink. Well, thank God Bill didn't take that first drink, because if he had, we probably wouldn't be here today. Bill's going through a tough time here too, because he's out of town. He doesn't even have enough money. He's wondering if he has enough money to pay his hotel bill. And then he's thinking all this. But he didn't take it. He resisted it. He passed the test. How many times have I had that test and I flunked the test? He turned away and walked down the lobby to the church directory. He did the right thing. So he had 2 choices. One is hit the bar. The other one is the church directory. He made the right choice. And we all have a church. I have a church directory. My directory is right in my phone. I got a bunch of numbers in there. And I get numbers off the call. You know, I mean, I get newcomers and I call them. Thanks a lot. And I pass.
Thank you, Bruce. And good morning, Deb E. You're up, followed by Julie B. Good morning, Deb.
Hi, thank you. This is Deb E. in Southern California. And I introduced myself as Devorah a couple of times in the last few weeks when I shared. I've been listening to you guys for a couple of years, but never been able to get on live. And yeah, I've been going by about 4 different versions of my same given name for all my life. And I've just decided that this is where I'm most comfortable. So when I read this paragraph, it reminds me of how many times after a short period of abstinence did I think, oh, well, now I'm cured. I can go back. I can go back to, you know, I wanted so badly to just kind of fix this problem with food and go right back to eating. I didn't understand back then that this is a lifelong process. And, you know, I'd play that game over and over. And I'd play it in varying degrees. I'd play it with my binge foods at first, and then I knew I couldn't go back to those, but then I'd still try to play around with other foods that could be slippery. And it also, you know, it reminds me how I always have a choice. I have that power before I take that first bite. Once I take that first bite, then that's it. I'm kind of gone until the binge is over, and then I can get my power back. But I do have a choice, and I can make that decision to turn to my higher power and connect with that source instead of turning to food, and just kind of going down into that black hole. And I can't handle, you know, this thing where he could handle, say, 3 drinks. I can't handle any quantity of my binge foods. 0 is the best quantity for those. You know, 0 is easier than 1. And as long as I don't take that first bite, that I make that decision to turn away and to turn towards my higher power, then I can do lots of things, and that'll pass.
Deb E., Julie E.B., you're up, followed by Linda P. Good morning, Julie. Julie E.B. Star 1 to unmute, please.
Hi,
Julie.
I'm here. I'm Julie E.B., gratefully recovered today. Of course he couldn't drink. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Of course he couldn't drink. Why not drink? You know, why not sit hopefully? You know, maybe I can test myself. Maybe I can put myself in these situations. I can do this with food. Maybe I can go to an all-you-can-eat buffet. Maybe I can go to my favorite drive-thru. What's the harm in shopping and getting this for, you know, somebody else? And these are all lies the disease tells. We can do the same thing with our character defects, you know. Why not put myself in a turbulent situation? Why not argue just a little bit? It says we're not to criticize or argue. Why not take someone's inventory if, after all, there really are, you know, just a little bit worse than me. Maybe I can get into the brainstorm, which is one of mine, that I turn into the talk storm, the spinning, the what if, the future, just a little bit. Well, fear ought to be classified with stealing. I can't get into tomorrow. I can't get into later today. I need to get into what's next. Fear grips me whenever, like this person is going through, whenever I get into the future, whenever I get into asking myself, well, maybe I could wander outside that gate, but here I'm safe and protected inside my abstinence, inside a God who loves me, who cares about me, a higher power who's both bigger and greater than anything else, kinder than anything else, including the food, and also more personal to me, knows the language of my disease, my lower power that tells me that I'm worth nothing, so why bother? That's when I'm on thin ice. Fear grips me, I'm on thin ice, and I need to call because I'm in the future, and I'm always playing God when I'm in the future. That first bite, that first thought, as one of our friends says, we're not responsible for that first thought, that first bite, but we can make a call, we can reach out, and with a shiver turning away, I hope we all today walk down the lobby, pick up our directory and make a call. Thanks for taking my share.
Thank you, Julie E.B. And before we hear from Linda P., I'm just going to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 154. We're in the third paragraph. Of course, he couldn't drink, and it ends on "to him from the bar." And I'll take some more names after Linda P. shares. Good morning, Linda.
Hi there. My name is Linda P. from New York City. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. And wow, this paragraph and what we've been reading really struck me and reminded me of my when I first came in, which wasn't that long, into Vision for You. And I had had a lot of time in the food programs, sometimes years of abstinence, but the last number of years slipping and sliding and feeling like nothing could work. And when I found Vision for You and started working the steps, I really found a lot of relief, and I was working very diligently on steps 1 and 2. And at that time, my sponsor, who I had really had a lot of trust with and was having a good relationship with, had a slip. And right before she did, she had convinced me, because I really didn't want to go to the Vision for You conference. So I had just, you know, last minute, you know, somebody went out of their way to sign me up for that, even though the deadline had passed. And I really wanted to drop out of that. And I thought, oh my God, you know, maybe this isn't for me. You know, my sponsor slipped. This is, and there was that moment where fear, you know, that's that part really got me. Fear gripped me. I just knew that if I didn't go to that and I didn't have a sponsor, I would be off to the races. And that was so, there's that little choice point that we get. I don't think it always lasts forever, but, you know, I really thank God that I chose it. And when I went to that conference, and I kind of wasn't totally convinced. I'd been in OA many years, and then I had been in FA, and I was like, oh God, is this another, you know, another whole thing, you know, another cult or whatever I thought, you know, it was kind of negative. But there was such love and recovery, and, you know, there wasn't one time where I didn't sit down with people where I wasn't accepted and just, you know, total love. And I just heard the message, and that was that. But I do remember that choice point. And I remember just sitting there at my desk, and I was like, oh my God, you may never get back here. You have to do something different. And sometimes I just think that's the grace of God. And lastly, I don't know if I have another moment, but I'm recovering from COVID-19, and it's been, you know, gosh, almost 6 weeks. And the grace of God that I didn't pick up, you know, that I was able to stay abstinent, is really, truly a miracle. And I really think it's because of, you know, my sponsor and working the steps. You know, I'm on step 12 now.
Hi.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Linda P. And stay well and be well. Again, just going to remind everybody, we're on page 154, the third paragraph. And again, if you have shared in the last 3 days, we'd appreciate if you step back and let others share this morning. So who'd like to share on this paragraph, please?
Sherry Josie.
Did I hear Sherry Josie?
Yes.
Okay, Sherry Jo. Who's next?
Erica T.
Erica T. All righty.
Liz T.
We got some T's going here. Okay, Liz T. Who else?
Got Diane B.
Diane B. Gotcha, Diane. Who else?
How about Dorita P.?
How about Dorita P.? All right, Dorita P. All right, and I've got room for one more. Come on in. The water's warm.
Mo H.
Mo. All right. All right,
I'll
you guys.
I'll sneak in here at
you
the
gals,
end. Okay.
Okay, so I got Sherry Jo C., Erica T., Liz T., Diane B., Dorita P., and Mo H. Go ahead, Sherry Jo C. Good morning.
Good morning. This This is Sherry Josie, recovered compulsive eater in Southern California. Thank you so very much. Gosh, I've just been loving this chapter, and, you know, the sharing on this line is always so good, and it's just been especially good through this chapter. You know, what I always remember when I'm reading through this, and this paragraph in particular, you know, this idea of had he not been sober 6 months now, and the thinking process that he's going through, kind of the negotiating, you know, and I always try to remember, you know, I have a disease that tells me I don't have a disease. Of course it's going to tell me all kinds of things like, oh, well, I've been in Overeaters Anonymous and I've been abstinent for 30 years now. Well, surely by now I should be able to handle a little bit of this and that, especially what I've been seeing people, you know, have other people have with impunity. You know, I always talk about my mom. She's like a one brownie woman. She can have one brownie and, like, well, she won't even finish it, you know, because it'll be a little too rich or a little too sweet. And I, you know, I'm like, you know, one pan of brownies girl, and then, like, drive to the store when I lived in Michigan in the middle of, like, the worst snowstorm of the winter to get more. Like, I always try to remember that, you know, that's who I am. And, you know, I'm just really grateful that when I came into the program, and I talk about, you know, my Back to Basics abstinence group in Michigan, Detroit, Michigan, that, you know, got me food sober, and I'm so grateful. They used to talk a lot about no matter what. And, you know, the whole idea of, like, you know, I don't eat even if my bottom is falling off, no matter what. And I need it to be completely black and white like that because my disease will want me to negotiate. My disease will want something to take the edge off. I always have to laugh in the big book when it says, you know, the part about would we rather have, you know, live a spiritual life? I mean, would we rather die a horrible death or live a spiritual life? And how, like, that's even a question. You know, why is that even a question? But it's still my nature as a compulsive eater, because I know I never will be a cucumber. I'm a pickle. I'll never be a cucumber again. It's my nature as a compulsive eater to have thoughts at times of going to the food instead of working my spiritual program, instead of going to God and using my, you know, my spiritual program to take the edge off, which, you know, took me some time in early sobriety, early food sobriety to learn how to do. And, you know, he's talking here about the first 6 months. Well, that's early food sobriety. For me, the first 5 years were early food sobriety. You know, maybe there's something wrong with me, but I didn't truly feel released from the cravings, not so much the cravings of the food, but the cravings of the habit. I mean, this is a habitual disease. You know, I knew I could always get through things as long as I could binge on the other side. And I'm just so grateful for no matter what and this paragraph. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Sherry Jesse. Erica T., you're up, followed by Liz T. Good morning, Erica T.
Hi, this is Erica T., recovering compulsive eater from California. I love the way that this paragraph is written. It says, of course he couldn't drink, and then maybe he could sit at the table with a bottle of ginger ale. And then it's just the next sentence, well, perhaps he could handle, say, three drinks. And it really demonstrates how quickly that process goes. And there's barely a moment of consciousness between that thought of maybe he could sit there with a bottle of ginger ale and maybe he could have three drinks, because after all, he's been sober for 6 months now. And it reminds me of the importance of continually attending to my spiritual life. And I love that this meeting is every day, because it's an everyday work attending to my spiritual life. And it makes me think, if he, you know, what if he had been in a slightly different frame of mind, or what if he hadn't been in a habit over the past 6 months of continually attending to his sobriety, he probably would have made a different decision. And so it's so important for me each day to be attending to, where am I at spiritually? Am I right with God or my higher power? And because then when these moments come up, there's barely a moment of consciousness that I have there to make that decision. But the more that I'm attending to my spiritual life, that moment gets just a little bit longer. You know, maybe it's a moment and a half, whereas if I'm not attending to my spiritual life, it's less than half a moment that I have to make that decision to continue on to my spiritual path. So this is just the way that it's written is so powerful to me, and I'm grateful to be here with you guys this morning. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Erica T. And Liz T., you're up, followed by Diane B. Good morning, Liz.
Hi, good morning. This is Liz T. in Minnesota. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And as I was reading this paragraph this morning, I was just looking at, you know, that old insidious insanity, that first drink. And then with a shiver, he turned away and walked down the lobby to the church directory. So here I see his sanity being restored, like we're promised in the 10-step promises after we become entirely abstinent and then work the 12 steps, we are promised in the 10-step promises that we will recoil from it as if from a hot flame. And I remember thinking, you know, in my early recovery, wow, that sounds amazing. Like, how does that happen? You know, I want that. You know, you had me at hello. I don't want to keep doing this over and over and over again. I don't want to stay in that vicious cycle. So I'm seeing, you know, as a result of the 12 steps being worked, God's interceding at that what could normally be the mental twist, you know, the insanity of that first drink. God is interceding there and reminding him that little tap on the shoulder, you know, are you going to come towards me or are you going to go back towards the food? Because as I've learned, I can't worship two gods. I can't have two masters, the food and a god. I'm blocked. If I'm going back to the food, I'm going to be blocked from my higher power, blocked from all the beautiful promises of this book and of this program. So, it's just reminding me of step two, you know, being restored to sanity, and also reminding me of step 10, that I will recoil from it as if from a hot flame. And that's promised to me. I have to keep doing my daily disciplines, and I can't just rest on my laurels. I know that. But it's also a decision of the heart. I can't do this out of obligation. I can't do this because my sponsor told me I have to do it. It has to come from my heart. All of these steps are taken in the heart. And, you know, step one is the only step we take with absolute perfection. And the rest of the steps we do to the best of our ability. And so just grateful for that today. I've had some of those moments, you know, where my binge substances are around and I recoil. And I just thank God because I know I could not do that on my own willpower. I know that's the result of the steps in the program, the fellowship, and my higher power. With that, I'll pass.
Liz T. Diane B., you're up, followed by Dorita P. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. Thank you so much for this meeting and all of you that do such wonderful service for the rest of us. I'm Diane B. from California Compulsive Overeater Recovered. I had to look up the word insidious. Insanity, and it said subtle, treacherous, seductive, pressure from modern life. And certainly the food was insidious for me and brought it much insanity. And I'm just so grateful to know that that first bite will take me out. And where it says fear gripped him, it's so funny because I you know, when you're abstinent, you start dreaming that that you have taken that first bite and the fear that grips you in that, in some of my dreams, is just so scary. And I've waken up many times in a cold sweat knowing that I've taken that bite again. And I'm just so grateful to not be there anymore. So so grateful for this program and for sticking around the rooms for 40 years long enough to finally get it on one day at a time. Also, I have in my book that this is the test. This was the test for Bill. And it reminds me of it's a little visual that I've had in the back of my mind many times, and that is like a gate. When you have a gate to a fence, as the gate turns, there's little tiny movement at the hinge of the gate, but as at the other end of the gate, it opens wide. And so that tells me two things, that if I make those small choices wrong, then that gate opens wide. But if I'm making those small choices on a daily basis, you know, reading what I'm supposed to be reading, calling my people, texting in my food, doing all the little tiny things every day that keeps me spiritually fit, then that gate opens to the glorious a part of this program of the fellowship, and most of all, to a God that is, I pray every day that he will change my heart, because my problem is with people and places and things. And I'm just so grateful to be here in this program and want to share it with so many that don't even want it, which is just shocking to me. And I'm just thankful for all of you. Thanks and have a great day. Bye.
Well, thank you, Diane B. And Dorita P., you're up, followed by Mo H. Good morning, Dorita.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Dorita P. from Cleveland, Ohio. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm really grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason, and I'm so really grateful I have a seat here. And I have several things on my mind, but let's just see what comes out. So, of course, he couldn't drink, but why not sit, hopefully, at a table, a bottle of ginger ale before him? Yeah, just kind of reminds me of the part in the big book where it talks about so unless you have a good reason for going somewhere, if you don't have a good reason, then don't go. So he has no business in a bar, you know. And then his last sentence, the book also says that, you know, well, if he had a good reason to even be in a bar, then that would be okay. But in this particular case, he has no reason at all to go into that particular bar. And then it talks at the end here, music and gay chatter still floated to him from the bar. And, tells me how inviting it is, you know. And I love music and I love to dance. So, but if I'm not spiritually fit and it's at a buffet, you know, I don't need to go, you know, no matter what the event or occasion is, I still don't need to go. I don't care if I like to dance or I like music. But I'm just really grateful. But if I have another second or a minute, I'd just like to share what's like really heavy on my heart. And I need a sponsor. I need a sponsor really badly. My original sponsor left the program. And I've tried a couple sponsors since her, but it just seems that, you know, I'm African-American, and it's just hard to share, you know, some of my anger, you know, against, you know, white people. And I guess it's just maybe hard for them to hear it, but I can't work through it if I can't talk about it. So if anybody out there is willing to sponsor me, you know, please call me. And I'm also a sponsor, too. I've been in the program for 20 years, and I've lost over 100 pounds, and I'm abstinent, but I still need a sponsor, you know. Some people say they don't need a sponsor after a while, but I need a sponsor every day. And so with that, I'll pass. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Dorita P. Well, I hope you stay on afterwards and listen to who's available. Thank you. Mo H., you're up, followed by our last one, Mo H. We might have time for a little more after Mo H., but we'll see.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mo.
All
good
right.
Morning.
Thank you, Sherry. Good morning, everybody. My name is Mo H. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. I just ditto to what everyone is saying. You know, what can I add to this? The first thing that came up for me, and someone already referred to this, is I'm not responsible for my first thought, but I am responsible for my first action. So, you know, he had a thought here, you know, and the thought is he knew he couldn't drink, but then he goes, you know, a little rationalization. Why not sit hopefully at the table? You know, for me, with a dish of ice cream or, you know, some cookies or, you know, whatever the dessert might be, sit before me and just stare at it. Yeah, right. That's not going to happen. So I remember when I first came into the rooms, and even before I came into the rooms, when I went on diets, I always had it in the back of my mind that I could, when I was finished, I could go back and eat the way I did. And I, you know, that's crazy thinking, because if I eat the way I ate the way I did, I was going to gain my weight back. And even when I came into the rooms, I used it as, you know, we hear diet with group support, and, you know, got the food plan, and I lost all my weight. And then I thought, well, I can, you know, have some of this and some of that. Now I'm fine. I always had that thought. Well, this last go-around really, really, really whipped my butt. And Roseanne says in her story, Beyond My Wildest Dreams, that never forget your last binge is one of the things that kept her abstinent. Was she remembered step one, she was powerless. Step two, she had she connected to God. And then never forget my last binge. And I won't forget that. 2 months of sheer hell. Thank God it was only 2 months. But still, I saw how fast with one bite. So that's what happened here. Perhaps he could handle, say, he says, 3 drinks, no more. Well, I can't even handle one bite. And then it says, fear gripped him. He was on thin ice. Halt. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Any of those emotions come up, I need to take care of them with my 10th step. And so, and if it doesn't go away, my sponsor says, if the thought doesn't go away, if it's still bothering me, I need to do another 10th step until that thought lessens. So, yes, I got to keep spiritually fit in order to keep this disease at bay, because it's going to try to get me any which way it can. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Mo H. Thank you all for your wonderful shares. We have a minute, about 2 minutes left for a burning desire. Anybody would like to jump in, please?
Jen L.
Okay, I heard a Jen person. Jen?
Yes, Jen R.
Go ahead, Jen R. You've got about 2 minutes.
Okay. What I haven't heard mentioned today is that one of the gifts that higher power at least has given me in program, when I'm connected to my higher power and I'm truly in the recovery zone, God gives me the ability to pause and think instead of having a curious blank spot. I have a spot where I can actually think. And that's what Bill had. He had the ability to stop for a second and think, and then make the right choice. So God helped him think, God helped him make the right choice, and so on and so forth. And that's truly one of the greatest gifts. I still have a desire for food now and then. I don't have complete food neutrality yet. But I do have the ability to not choose the food at the moment, because God is giving me that. He's giving me that pause. And that's all I wanted to share. Thanks.
Thank you, Jen. And that's about all the time we have for sharing. We're on time. Yay. All right. So thank you all who shared this morning. So grateful for all your shares. Fabulous meeting this morning, folks. Thank you so much. And so I'll take the time to thank Team Friday. Thank you, Team Friday. All of you are grateful for your service this morning. And now we're going to have close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And Jordanelle, and it goes till keep you till then. Jordanelle, if you take us out, please.
Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Jordan.
And everybody else. Glad to be on the line with you guys this morning. My name is Jordanelle. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. You will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.